Good morning. Let us pray. Father God, I want to thank you for today, Father God. Thank you that you have blessed us with a good, great day, Lord, that we can come and listen to your word, Father God. We want to thank you for this life, Father God, that you have blessed us with, Father God, that we can wake up early in the morning, Father, and do what you have planned for us, Father. I pray that as we listen to this word, Father God, I pray that anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that it will not come out of my mouth, Father God. I pray and that anything that displeases you, Father God, I will cease it from speaking, Father God. I pray for welcome your presence here, Lord. Thank you for this sanctuary, Father God, that you have blessed us, that we can gather in the chaos of our daily lives and come here and listen to your word, Father God. We want to thank you in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So before I go into today's sharing, I just want to tell how I arrived at today's topic. So around a month ago, when I signed up to speak at today's EMP, I started to ask God to reveal what am I supposed to speak on. At the same time, I was listening to sermons and podcasts on Romans. And I thought, okay, something must be from Romans that God wants me to speak on. Then I started to like Romans 1, Romans 2, Romans 3, all the podcasts that I can listen, but nothing in particular that I was able to sense that I should speak on. That goes on for like 3 weeks. And then in the last week, I started to freak out and panic because there's nothing that is happening. I can't hear anything from you, God. This is only my third time speaking at EMP, so I need a long time to prepare to make sure everything is theologically correct. And to represent God's word, the best intent that I can, right? So, as I was freaking out around 5-6 days ago, I was like, "Oh God, help me, please!" So, and then suddenly, like God I sensed God like putting these three words in my heart: faith, hope, and love. So it was like totally not what I was studying or reading on. So that's what I'll be sharing on today. I'll start by faith, and whenever my next sharing will come, I'll talk on hope and then on love. So I was freaking out for one topic. God blessed me with three. So God is good. Amen. For the topic of faith, my will is where better to look for than in Hebrews 11. The Faith Hall of Fame chapter. And who better to learn from than Abraham, the father of faith? So let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews 11. We'll be focusing on verse 17 to 19. Hebrews 11, verse 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Amen. As I read through Hebrews 11, I can pick up any names in this chapter that we can talk and understand more about faith. There's mention of Abel offering up a sacrifice by faith, Noah who built an ark by faith, Rahab who welcomed and protected the spies, etc., etc. Yet the largest section of this chapter is about Abraham, the father of faith. So what is faith? According to online Oxford Dictionary, faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Second point is strong belief in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual conviction rather than proof. So when I read that, like especially the last part, rather than proof, I was like, is faith really without proof? Does having faith mean blindly following? Actually, faith is something we are exercising in our lives every day. Today, when you came into SP, to the sanctuary, you were exercising faith in the chair, trusting that it won't break. Have you ever given a second thought that when you sat on it that you have doubts that the chair will like not stand your weight and everything? When you get on a taxi or MTR, you had faith in the driver that they will bring you to the destination. You never gave a second thought about will he drive you to somewhere else. We're exercising faith even without we knowing. But are these examples I mentioned without any proof? No. You sat on the chair because your previous experience with the chair since your childhood, you knew that chairs, you sit on chairs, they won't fall. They're rock solid. You can even jump on them. Not at the sanctuary. Your experience with taking MTR previously gives you a proof and faith that you will reach your destination. And that gives you a confidence that you can reach wherever you want to go within Hong Kong. I feel it was the same for Abraham when I was like reading through Genesis, understanding his story. He was able to reach this faith mentioned in the text we just read. It wasn't blind faith or how the world sees it. The verses in Hebrew we just read are mentioned in details in Genesis 22, verse 1 to 14. I'll read them out as well. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from the distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Had a focus on it. He said, we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. And they came to the place of which God has told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took a knife to slay him. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and caught up and offered him up and for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said on this day, and it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. So as we read just now from Genesis 22, in verse 1 it mentioned, now it came about after all these things. So you may ask, at least I asked, so after what things? What are these things that after Abraham was tested by God. From what I've sensed, that after the years of experiencing God, since he was called by God, after he walked with God, this life journey to the inherited land God promised, he gained confidence in who God is and his characteristics. He realized that God has never let him down or ever done anything detrimental to him. I sense faith is a muscle that can be developed into something powerful, as we learn from Abraham's life. What has Abraham learned in this walk with God and arrive to the story of Genesis 22, the first thing he must have learned is obedience. Obedience can be learned and be developed. In Hebrews verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Abraham did not know where he was going, and he just started going. Most of our tendencies will be, "God, can I have a map before I go? Can I get the GPS coordinates where you want me to go? Step one, step two, step three, please, before I can take any action." Lord doesn't work that way. He guides us one step at a time. But Abraham, even from this story, Abraham didn't fully obey. Though he did went, he did get the ball rolling. But he brought his father and Lot together with him when God told him to go alone. Not until his father passed away, then again God asked him to move. Here, Abraham must have learned, wow, God is so faithful here. Even I didn't fully obey. He waited for me until I was at the right place, right time, and showed up again and reminded me of my calling and the promise that he has given me. Through obedience, we are able to learn about the characteristics of God and the consistency of God's promises. When God asked Abraham to offer up Isaac, I assume he must have struggled emotionally with thoughts like, "Are you sure it is from God? Are you sure it's God who has spoke to you? Surely a loving God will not ask his father to sacrifice his son, right?" But the Bible has no mention of such struggles. Genesis 22 simply records that God commanded him to offer his son and arose early in the morning. He just arose early in the morning without a second thought. In Hebrews verse 11 verse 17, the tense of offered indicates that it was with purpose and intent. He offered up Isaac willingly. A side note on obedience on Isaac. When God said to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, and offer him at the place where I will show you," in our minds we always picture this little 8 to 10 year old kid. We have this old man bringing this little kid, bringing up him to the mountain and slaughter him. Seems like the kid has no say in this. We always have this feeling, or that's how it feels. From, I would understand a lot of kids might know that Isaac is like a small child. But through different verses in the Bible, and many scholars can believe that Isaac at this point was most likely in his late 20s or early 30s. Isaac was in his prime. He would have easily overpowered his dad. Isaac was willingly submissive and obedient to his father's will as well. Something I learned from here when I was reading Isaac's story as well, faith can be infectious. Isaac learned from his dad's faith and was able to do the same and be obedient to what his father wanted him to do. I just want to say this to the parents here, that your faith can be infectious to your kids. So stay strong and be faithful. Even though they don't know who God is, through your faith they'll one day know God. On the same mountain, thousands of years later, another father was sacrificing his only son. One thing I want to emphasize, that God has never given such a command, either before or after Abraham's time. This was a unique in history. No one is required to sacrifice their son anymore. I want to repeat that. No one is required to sacrifice their son anymore. Jesus Christ dying on the cross and his resurrection has already fulfilled the prophetic picture that was being portrayed here. Next, he must have learned surrendering. Hebrews 11 verse 18 talked about, "It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.'" God had repeatedly promised, had made promises to Abraham to make him a great nation. Abraham and Sarah waited for 25 years from when he was first 75 till when he was 100 for God to give him Isaac. After waiting for so long, with no hope or any fulfillment, God finally gave them the special son. But now, God tells Abraham to sacrifice this precious son. Abraham knew God's character and goodness to the extent that he was able to surrender the promise that God gave. How was he able to surrender? So if we read back in Genesis 17, when God appeared to Abraham when he was 99 and told Abraham that Isaac will be the promised son next year at the same time and he'll be born. Abraham pleaded with God in verse 18, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Basically, he was pleading to God, can't Ishmael be the promised one? Abraham loved Ishmael, but Ishmael wasn't supposed to be the promised one. But God did promise Abraham that he will bless Ishmael to be fruitful and make him a great nation. God's promise to make another nation from Ishmael began to be fulfilled when Ishmael had 12 sons and presided over 12 tribes in Genesis 25. Through this experience, Abraham must have learned to surrender and let God be in the driving seat for everything in his life. God was gracious and loving enough to bless his mistakes. Ishmael was not in God's plan. It was a work by Abraham and by Sarah. It was the flesh that was acting out. Yet God blessed him and told him, "Abraham, I will take care of Ishmael. Don't worry, I'm in control." Finally, Abraham learned to believe in all things are possible. In Isaac was the promise of God, and now God is asking Abraham to sacrifice the promise that God gave. Kind of sound contradicting, right? God, you gave me a promise, and then now you're asking me to sacrifice the promise, so where's the promise, right? But not for Abraham. In verse 19, Abraham considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as the type. By now, I would say that Abraham's faith in God was so great that he thought, if God wants me to sacrifice Isaac, then to keep his promise, God will have to raise him from the dead. That is the only way for me to sacrifice Isaac and God to keep his promise. Remember, at this moment, there has been no resurrection ever happened. The Greek word translated considered comes from a word whose root meaning is numerical calculation. It can be used as a metaphor for reckoning of characteristics or reasonings. Abraham did not take this action blindly. Rather, he considered God's attributes and characters through walking and communicating with God. Throughout his life, he can know for the fact that this God is loving, just, and mighty. He never deceives him. He has never let him go ever. He is faithful to keep his covenant promises. He had promised that in Isaac, Abraham's descendant would be numbered. Isaac did not have any children at this point yet. And yet God now had asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Therefore, God must be planning to raise him from the dead. That could be the only thing that he can think of, because that's what he considered. That was what his logic was. Until this point in history, there's been no resurrections that I've said before. So he has no reference. Remember, there was no Genesis verse 12 for him to be referring to. He don't know what's going to happen. Faith can bring you to an understanding that with God, it is possible to achieve the impossible. This is what faith can do. The last phrase of the verse 19 in Hebrews, that he received him back as the type means so dramatic was the sequence of events that it was as though Isaac really had died and had been raised up to life again. This points us to the real reason that God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his own son. It was a type of what God himself would do with his son on the cross. So at this moment, can I invite Ernie to... Even though, with Abraham, faith says, even though my current situation seems to go against God's love and goodness based on his covenant promises to me, I trust that he will work all things good together for me. Faith is the language of eternity. God is teaching his children to live in faith, not blindly, but with proof of his existence through walking with him, talking to him, experiencing him. Is there anything in your life journey right now that require faith? Do you feel alone? Are you struggling on the relationship with a family member? Could be your dad, could be your mom, could be your children. Do you need more faith to endure the current job situation? Do you need faith in your marriage? What we can learn from Abraham is be obedient, surrender, and believe nothing is impossible with God. And if you're saying, I want to have this faith and walk this journey of life with God too, but I don't know this God, it is actually very simple. All God wants you to do is accept him in your heart and declare it from your mouth. You can pray a very simple prayer wherever you are. And you may ask, just a simple prayer? If you're listening on a podcast, just a simple prayer will do? Yes. I am one of the testimony that prayed through internet to accept Jesus Christ. And my journey of faith started years ago. So you can repeat after me. Dear Father God, I am sorry that I am a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please come into my life and be my Savior, be my Lord, and be my friend. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have prayed this prayer for the very first time, your journey of faith has just started. Reach out to a Christian friend. Oh, by now, if you're still listening to this podcast, apparently, come to SP. We will welcome you here. And for us, let's spend some time to pray and ask God to strengthen our faith so that, like Abraham, we can also be able to believe that God can turn around whatever situation that we are in right now into a blessing. Turn all the things that we think is impossible to be possible.
Of heaven, I lean out on. understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean out on my own understanding. My life is in the hand of the Maker of heaven. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I lean out on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean out on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. Climb these mountains with my hands wide open. I will climb these mountains with my hands wide open. I will climb these mountains with my hands wide open. I will climb these mountains with my hands wide open. I will climb the mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. Yes. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. There's nothing I hold on to, nothing I hold on to, nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to, yes. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. Yes. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. There's nothing I hold on to. 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 There's nothing I hold on to.
As I was just saying, that faith is infectious. Your faith can infect other people. So is there anyone that is in your life right now that needs more faith? Use your faith to infect them so that they'll be strong, so they'll know this God, that with this God all things are possible. Give them hope, give them strength. And now we can turn to today's prayer focus, and we can use the same faith to be infectious through these people on the list. Pray for their healing. Pray for the salvation of all of these. So let's start with our community prayer focus and focus on our brothers and sisters who are going through cancer, chemotherapy, and all those surgeries. Now let's pray for people that are going through different kind of illnesses, but also need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for people that are going through infirmities. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs, and pray for a provision for all of them, and pray that God will, at this right time, at this right place, will provide them the work that they'll excel in. Thank you. Let's go to our missions focus. Let's pray for North Korea to open doors for ministry. Pray for missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, the persecuted church, the Middle East. Let's pray for all the SP weekend gatherings, SLW, prison outreach, drug rehab, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP youth, Yahweh, SPIN services and activities, and all the meetings that will be happening throughout this weekend. Let's pray for house churches that are having their meeting today. Let's pray for Fortress, House to House, Mawan, Southside and Westside. As I was just praying, I sensed that this word, that faith is infectious, is repeating, coming up again and again. And one of the way to be infectious to other people with our faith is to worship. So I would like to request Ernie to play that worship, that song.
Out of me, yes, God.
I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. And I will climb these mountains with my hands wide open. We'll climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me, yes, God. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. There's nothing I hold on to. 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 Yes, there's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to.
Father God, I want to thank you that we don't need to hold on to anything, Father God. Being you as the rock-solid foundation, we can be obedient in anything that you have called us to be. Surrender everything that you want us to surrender. And believe that with you, everything is possible. Father God, thank you for blessing us with the promise, with your goodness, with your characters, the great character that you have, Father God. I pray that as we close, Lord, I pray that our faith will be infectious to other people as well, Father God. I pray that you'll continue to bless us and use us for your kingdom. I want to thank you, Lord. In your Son Jesus Christ's name I pray. So have a good prayer time and see you guys tomorrow.